Thank you for joining us for this message. Whether you are watching for the first time or are simply catching up on a message you missed, we are so glad you are connecting to God's Word today. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you will experience a real encounter with God. Please consider giving financially to support God's work through our ministry. You will find several options to do that by clicking on the word give in the menu on our website at kentwoodcommunitychurch.com. May you be inspired by the word today.
Thank you.
Jenna, come on up. I'm going to ask those of you online and those of you in the sanctuary to stand. We're going to read God's word together. If you would stand, we're in Genesis chapter 6. Jenna's going to help me. I'm going to start in verse 5 of Genesis. Verse 5. Chapter 6 of Genesis, we're going to read through verse 14. You will repeat after me with Jenna. Genesis 6, 5. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistent and totally evil. Verse 6.
So the Lord was sorry he had ever made them and put them on the earth. It broke his heart.
And the Lord said, I will wipe this human race I have created from the face of the earth, yes, and I will destroy everything living, all the people, the large animals and the small animals that scurry along the ground, and even the birds of the sky. I am sorry I ever made them. Verse 8.
But Noah found favor with the Lord.
This is the count of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on the earth at that time, and he walked in close fellowship with God. Verse 10.
Noah was the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
Now God saw that the earth had become corrupted and was filled with violence. Verse 12.
God observed all this corruption in the world, for everyone on earth was corrupt.
So God said to Noah, I've decided to destroy all living creatures, for they have filled the earth with violence. Yes, I will wipe them all out along with the earth. Verse 14.
Build a large boat from cypress wood and waterproof it with tar inside and out. Then construct decks and stalls throughout the interior.
Let's pray. And I'm asking today, Lord, that the words of my mouth, meditations of our hearts, will be pleasing in your sight. And as the prophet prayed many years ago, we pray now, speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. And all God's people said, amen, you can have a seat. Well, anybody feel like they've already had church this morning? Yeah. We're beginning a new series today, Faith Overcoming Doubt. We're going to do that by looking at three biblical characters. Today we're looking at Noah. Next week we will look at Abraham. And week three we will look at Joshua. Let's be really honest with one another. We want to have a church that acknowledges that every single one of us struggle with this thing called doubt. If we're not honest with this, we will continue to allow doubt to scream at us. We all doubt in one form or one fashion. Let me make it clear. You have lots of questions for God. That's not a bad thing. But it's important that you understand as you go to Scripture that the Bible will not answer all of your questions. It was not written with that purpose. It will answer many of your questions. It will answer the most important question about how I live forever and how I have a relationship with God. But Deuteronomy 29:29 says clearly to us, there are secrets that belong to God alone. In other words, he is God and I am not. Anybody okay with that? You see, the Bible's very clear what faith is. Hebrews 11 says, faith is sure of what we hope for and certain of what we have not seen. Sure of what we hope for and certain of what we have not yet seen. What you and I need to understand is that faith and doubt can exist at the same time. You can't have light without darkness. You can't have love without people who will not love. And faith and doubt are always there together. Sometimes I doubt when I see the horrors around us and the cruelty of life. When I see children being exploited in the sexual trade. But then my faith explodes when my 26-year-old, 26 years ago, was born and I was there to watch that and was like, if there is not a God, then this is the most amazing experience that I've ever come in contact with. Faith and doubt kind of come together, but we live in a society that honors doubt and kind of gives a negative tone to faith. We will use terms like honest doubting or blind faith. I want you and I to know today that we are in a season of living and in a culture where doubt is going to come really loud at us. Why? Because we are becoming the minority. It's easy to have faith when you're the majority. It's easy to have faith, easier I should say, to have faith when you got people that think the same as you. It's much more challenging when you are in the minority as it relates to faith. And our world today is screaming at us. But I want you to know that we are not unique. Noah experienced it. We're going to look at that in a moment. But do you know that the New Testament folks had doubt and felt like they were in the minority? And Paul even was wondering whether or not they were going to stand. Galatians chapter 1, he said this, "I am shocked. I am shocked that you're turning away so soon from the God who called you to himself through Christ. You're following a different way that pretends to be the gospel, but it's not God, but it's not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. Let God's curse fall on anyone." Did you hear that? "Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us or even angels from heaven, who preach a different gospel than the one that we preached to you. I say it again. What we have said before, if anyone preaches any other good news than the one you welcome, let that person be cursed." Obviously, if I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God, if I were trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Is that verse, are those verses not relevant for today? You need to know that in the time of Noah, there was doubt, standing by himself. In the early church, there was Paul speaking to the folks in Galatia, feeling like, are we going to make it? There was doubt. And today, as we finish time as we know it, there's that same challenge as doubt screams at us. There are three kinds of peoples that relates to doubt. Here's what I would say to you about doubt. The first kind of person is the person I'm hoping you all are. Doubt should push us towards faith. That's the first kind of person. The second, you know those folks, it's that doubt pushes them away from God. And then there's a unique group of people, number three, where they vacillate back and forth in faith and doubt, depending on their situation. Have you ever had a crisis of faith? If we're really honest, have you had that moment where you doubt and said, "God, what are you up to? Is this really true? How can life be so cruel?" Anybody been there? I remember when my wife and I got off a plane, September 11th, 1997, in a nation that was predominantly Muslim. I remember a 2-year-old in one arm and a 1-year-old in the other arm. And I remember as we began our journey there, there were no believers among 8 million people. And in those first few days, as we tried to figure out what life meant and what it looked like, I had a crisis of faith. Do I really believe this? Is this really true? And I stand before you today, obviously, that moment of doubt pushed me into the arms of Jesus, such to an extent that I was willing, and still am, I believe, willing to die for it. But it was my doubt that actually pushed me stronger into my faith. Does that make sense to anybody? Unfortunately, in the church, we have too many times said to the folks and those of you online, "You can't doubt." We get a little insecure. We try to shut them down. And the problem with that is that God wants to use this in their life to bring him closer to them. We got to be honest. God can handle your doubt. Anybody with me? God can handle your doubt and your questions. And you need to understand that. Faith is trust. Faith is trust. Question, do you believe today that you can trust God? Do you honestly believe you can trust him? Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." No faith equals no relationship with God. Unfortunately, we have those out there who have taught Hebrews 11:6 that says, if you have just enough faith, then God somehow is obliged to you. And he's going to have to do it the way you say he needs to do it. That's a setup. I kind of look at Jesus where he said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, in the middle of your crisis, in the moment of your doubt, if you hang on to that, you can say to this mountain, be moved, and it will be moved. We allow people to come around us in those moments, and we see here that chapter 11 of Hebrews, that's the chapter we call the faith chapter. It's the chapter in Scripture that allows us to look at these narratives in the Old Testament from hindsight. We read in the Old Testament real time what's happening. Then Hebrews, the writer Hebrews, allows us to see perspective. And basically, in Hebrews 11:7, it talks about Noah and says, Noah, because he had this faith with God and walked with God, he saved his family and he saved humanity and he was a righteous dude. God was crazy, wasn't he? You talk about doubt. Build a boat, Noah. A big, big, big boat. 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet wide without a power tool. 100 miles from the ocean. And by the way, Noah, there's going to be a flood. And if you all have studied Scripture and that today, there had never been a flood before. Probably didn't even know what a flood was. Do you think that just maybe Noah was doubting just a little bit? I believe God sometimes demands faith from us, as he did from Noah, that is bigger than us. He demands faith from us that is beyond our abilities and beyond our resources, and yes, even beyond our logic. Anybody with me? And in the few moments that we have, I want to share with you three things that I believe Noah did that helped him overcome his doubt and walk with God. The first one is this: Noah believed God's call. Noah believed God's call. Can somebody say, God's calling? Say it again. God is calling. He's been calling since Noah. And for those of you watching online, mark my word, he's calling you. For those of you in the sanctuary, he is calling you. That is not the question. The question is, are you listening? And God called Noah. And it says in Hebrews 11:7, the reason why Noah heard and responded is that he feared God more than he did his doubt. His fear of God trumped his doubt. And it says in Genesis 6:22 that Noah did exactly as the Lord asked him to do. Well, what you need to realize, we didn't have time to read the rest of it, is that God did not call Noah in a vacuum. He explained the why. The world is incredibly messed up. We take the Noah's Ark story and we sanitize it. My wife and I did. We make our children's room full of Noah's Ark and little animals and big animals. But if we were really honest, this is a rated R story. The entire creation is destroyed. Only one. There was only one, and you feel like you're alone? Only one on the entire planet that was in right standing with God. Only one. Do you feel like I wonder if he felt a little bit alone. And yet, Noah believed something that felt a little bit illogical. I bet he felt like a fool. Question for this morning is this. Okay, Pastor, God is calling me. How do I know that God's call is authentic? Isn't that a fair question? I got doubt all the time. How do I know that God's call is authentic? Let me give you a couple of thoughts. The first is, how we know that it is God's call is that it will be God-centered. Whatever you're experiencing, if it's about you and you alone, it's probably not from God. You're just kind of allowed in God to be in the equation so you can Christianize it. The second thing is that we need to understand that God's call doesn't change in 48 hours, 2 weeks, 6 weeks. There are going to be tough times ahead. God's call will continue in our lives, even when we don't feel it. Did you hear what I just said? Feel it. Important for us to know. You start going into the emotional side of it and dependent on your emotions, you will crash and burn tomorrow. We know clearly that it has to be this. Understanding that God doesn't need us, but he wants to have relationship with us all the time. And what we're doing in here, in the sanctuary, and those of you tuning in online, what we are doing is two things. We are celebrating the King, and we are equipping the saints. Is that not what we're doing? Celebrating the King and equipping the saints. And then that will enable us to know when God's calling that we are now built up to have the faith that is necessary to overcome the doubt that says, did you really hear that? God, can you tell it to me another way? God, can you do it this way? God, can you do a fleece? How many of us have been there, done that? We know that God said something, but we want more confirmation. How many times does God got to communicate it before you'll say yes? I think one is sufficient. Anybody with me? We even see the story from Isaiah. He had an experience like this. He had a worship experience with God. And then he was saying to him after that, his doubt was over, here, my Lord, send me. We come together in the midst of opposition and struggle, knowing that that doubt is screaming at us. But when we come together, all of a sudden, then we are rallied up to go out and be what God has called us to be. Noah did not have the moral support. He didn't have church. He didn't have good people. Doubt was screaming, but his obedience was real. The key point is simply this. God's call is consistent in all of our lives. Once Noah heard God's call, the second point is simple. Noah adjusted his life for his faith. He adjusted his life for his faith. Can somebody say, I'm ready? Say it again, I am ready. James tells us, you show me your faith by what you believe. I'll show you my faith by what I do. We live in a day and age where everybody says, I believe. But the problem is, do you really believe? Because what you actually do and the way you actually live your life, that's what you believe. So don't give me intellectual assent. Don't say hallelujah at the proper time in a worship service. And then Monday through Saturday, you put God in his little silo and come back to him when you need him. You show me your faith by what you believe. I'll show you my faith by what I do. Faith will move us into action. James goes on and says, stop being double-minded. Do you know one of the disciples, Thomas, the doubting disciple? Do you know his name literally meant double-minded? And if you look at the narrative of Thomas, what will you find? Hey, Jesus, let's go into the village. No. Let's not go into the village. He was back and forth and all over the place. He was double-minded. And it is miserable that you and I need to understand we can't live this. Faith is built upon itself, one step at a time. You'll be a miserable person if you don't adjust your life. Noah did not ask God to adjust to him. Noah adjusted to God. I wonder how many of us here tell God he has to adjust to us. If I do all these things, now God, you need to do it my way. I'm guilty, anybody else? We know that Noah lived 950 years. I don't know that I would want to live on this planet 950 years. But that was pre-flood. We know from scripture, after the flood, the lifespan of people went off drastically. But 120 of those years, scripture says, was to build a boat where there had never been a flood. 120 years. I would call that an adjustment. He was probably doing his thing, trying to be righteous in the midst of evil all around, and he adjusts his life immediately. I wonder, in those 120 years, did Noah ever doubt? Noah doubted, and he screamed at God, maybe, I need results. People keep mocking me, one problem after the other. My children, who you're gonna save, are still grumbling with me. So how do I adjust so that my faith will overcome my doubt? Let me give you some thoughts. Once I know God's call happened, just like Noah, we have to adjust like Noah did. The first thing we have to do is we have to reprioritize our lives. Reprioritize. If you believe this is true, can I be so blunt? Live it. Live it out. You say you believe it. How does that play out with your kiddos, your grandkids, your marriage, How does that play out with your church? I said to men's ministry yesterday, we had 55 men show up for our first men's kickoff. Was that awesome? 55 men. And that's only the beginning. Starting in May, we're going to be meeting every Saturday. I'm going to be teaching the word. We're just getting into the word. We're just going to let men rise up. You're welcome to come out starting the first Saturday in May. And I said to them, you know what? The church has been getting beat up like nobody's business. All the things that we are and all the things that we are not. And some of them we are guilty of. But let me make it clear today. At the end of the era and at the end of the day, the last thing that will be standing is the church. Is the church. And the church is the hope of the world because we are the body of Christ with all of our imperfections. We have made, my wife is a PK, she talked about how back in the day, church was the center of the family. Now I may be stepping on some toes, but we live in a society today where church is just an appendage. Church is only when it's convenient. And we wonder why our children aren't committed. Because everything else is more important than church itself. Now, church is not gonna save you. There's no legalism in when you should or shouldn't go. But if we're going to allow our faith overcome our doubt, we're gonna have to adjust to God's call, and we need to start prioritizing what is the most important thing in our life and stop talking about it and start doing it. Start doing it. Barna says that 55% of the people that he polled said, They would adjust their life for a better life. But catch this, they won't do whatever it takes though. Somewhat sounds like the church today. We have to adjust our life. We need to stay away from comfort and complacency. It's a poison that will immobilize us. And to adjust our lives, we must submit daily to the Lord, and then he will give us the desires of our hearts. Can I get an amen? Are you willing to adjust to walk with God by faith? Do you want victory over your doubt? You and I are gonna have to adjust. As a matter of fact, I would just be honest with you. I have to adjust every day. It's not just during the big event. It's not just during the crisis. It's every single day of my life. I have to make that choice. Noah was in the middle of a crisis and he had to completely adjust. He believed God called. He adjusted his life. And the third and final point is simply this. Noah builds with God. Noah builds with God. Can somebody repeat, say, let's do this? Say it again, let's do this. Building with God is difficult in a society that doesn't want you to build with God and serve God. Culture gets in the way. It obviously, in chapter 6 of Genesis, it got in the way with Noah and building a boat with no support whatsoever. I'm here to declare to you today that same thing is true for us. As we build with God, the opposition's only going to grow. Although I've told you many times I can't put a timetable what this and how this is all gonna play out, it's my responsibility is to build your faith, prepare the bride for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So in our society, the exclusivity of Jesus, are you trying to tell me Jesus is the only way? It doesn't matter what I think. My opinion doesn't matter whatsoever. What matters is what Scripture says. And what did Jesus say? He said, I am the what? I am the way. Come on, church. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. That's not an arrogance. That's not an in and out. That's me just trying to stay humbly following Scripture. Secondly, building with God is going to be challenging because they're going to attack this. This is not inspired. This is full of contradictions, full of error. And when we take those pieces off, we now have taken out our authority. If we're gonna build for God, I remember, how many of you raise your hands, remember Billy Graham? I'm gonna see in the house. Few of you remember Billy Graham. The year was 1949. His best friend, a better preacher than Billy Graham, got his education. And he came to Billy and he said, you gotta stop preaching that old time religion. Do you really still believe that, Billy? Billy was devastated because he respected his friend. As the story goes, he went out and he had the crisis of doubt and he held his Bible on a tree stump and he wept over it. And he prayed to God that night and he said, Lord, by faith, I will believe this is your word the rest of my life. 2 weeks later, he was in Los Angeles for his very first meetings. Thousands of people came to know Christ. And as a result, the Billy Graham International Crusades began, and he preached to more people than any person that ever lived on the planet. And it all started with a crisis of faith. Is this true or is this not? 2 weeks before, it's easy to deconstruct, is it not? And you and I need to understand the task before us to build with God is at times overwhelming. Noah kept the commands while others missed it. Noah listened while others laughed. Noah had reverence for God while others disregarded God. As you stand up, put your name there. As you say yes to God, Mick keeps commands while others miss it. Put your name there. Mick listens while others laugh. Mick reveres God while others disregard God. And when we build for God, there's an entire build and serve God. Jesus brought Noah into a full cycle in Matthew 24. He said, by the way, you need to build for me because in the last days, it's going to be like the days of Noah. But this time, we're not going to build a boat or an ark. Jesus is the boat. The second thing is that your role to build in your doubt is to get as many people on the boat connected with Jesus as possible. For when the time comes and he comes back and the storm falls, it is God that will close the door of the boat, just like in Noah's day. And at that time, there will be no second chances. Now is the day of salvation. The day of the Lord is upon us. We are engaged in a culture that stands against us, but we must love the people of the culture. We must engage the culture. We must stop acquiescing to the culture. We need to know that we build for God, and what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 is that our labor is not in vain. You with me, church? So, Noah believed God's call. Noah adjusted to God's call. Therefore, Noah was building for God. And the entire time, doubt was whispering and speaking into his ear. But the doubt was not victorious. The doubt pushed him into the arms of God, the only righteous one. As we conclude this morning, my question to you is this. How many of you and you online are struggling today for whatever reason with doubt? Maybe something horrific has happened to you and you didn't ask for it. Maybe you're going through a challenge or a health issue and you pray and you pray and pray and God, it feels like God is not listening to you. Are you struggling with doubt today? It's okay. Do you hear me? It's okay. God can handle your doubt. That's why Jen said we need community groups. That's why we need men's groups. Corona has done something devastating to the church. We don't need each other. We can just come in and out. We have the privilege of watching online. We don't have to engage anybody. It's not the way Scripture shares. We need each other, especially when we're in the middle of doubt. And what Bob did today was so incredibly powerful. So incredibly powerful. And do you know the way we're going to be able to build for God? Is that we say, as we open up these doors and we go out to our world and our society, is that we're like, yeah, you can be real. You can come, as I said to the men yesterday, and you can belong before you become. You catch that? You can belong before you become. Is that okay, church? Is it okay if we say you can belong before you become? You don't have to get cleaned up to come be with us. Matter of fact, you can't clean you up, and I sure can't clean you up. There's only one I can point you to that is the master cleaner. Yeah, he's the only one that can change our soul and change our heart. He's the only one that can do that. Here's what I'd love for you to do. I'd love for you to bow your heads. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on out. Would you close your eyes? Even online, would you pray with me? I'm praying the Holy Spirit enters in online, wherever you're at. Maybe you're in your car or you're at home or wherever you are. And as we pray, I'm going to ask that God would speak to us powerfully and would do something that only He can do in our lives. Ms. Faith Place, I have a question for you. How many of you the Holy Spirit's already spoken to this morning? Holy Spirit is speaking to you as you're in a crisis of faith or a crisis of doubt. And if that's you, you said, I'm tired. I can't hide it anymore. I need a touch that Noah found. With the heads bowed and eyes closed, would you raise your hand if you say, that's me, Pastor. Can you pray for me? Is there anybody of you? If there's one person, keep them up. I'm struggling right now. I'm in a crisis of faith. Keep up your hands, please. It's a big building. Yes. I want you to know that I see you. Keep your hands up for just a moment so I can see you. By seeing you, I want you to know that you are valued. You can put your hands down. And for those of you online, I want you to type in the scroll, I need faith. And if you need faith, doesn't mean you don't have it, but you're struggling. And our host will come alongside you. Just type, I need faith. I want to pray for you all. And for those of you are in group number one like me, you've had your crisis of faith. Doesn't mean you won't have another one, but since the last one that you've had, it's pushed you to have more faith. Your doubt has. Would you pray with me to pray for those that raise their hands and those that are online? Can you pray with me, church? Can you? Come on, church, can you pray? Yeah. I'm gonna ask if you will, I want you to stand with me. Go ahead and stand. We're gonna pray together. And here's what we're gonna pray. We're gonna pray out loud. And if you're not a pray out loud person, then you don't have to pray out loud. But this gives freedom for the rest of you that wanna pray out loud. I don't wanna be the only one that prays. I want us all to pray. And maybe you're online and you're in your home and you're the leader of the home and maybe you just need to circle up and pray. What about that? Can you pray with me, folks? We're in a critical moment. Come on, let's pray. Pray out loud. Lord Jesus, come on, church. Come on, church, pray. We commit. We commit our lives to you. We commit this moment to you. We believe. Help us with our unbelief. Help us with our doubt. Help us with our crisis. We come to you. Oh, Lord, we come to you, Holy Spirit. Build up your saints. Build up your church. Make us strong. Make us everything you want us to be. Come on, church. Don't quit on me. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would give us exactly what we need. You've made us exactly the way we're supposed to be. But in this moment, may your glory descend. May your power be made known. May the presence of your Spirit be felt. We pray right now that you would connect with each individual, your Spirit with their Spirit, your Spirit with my Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit, come down and enable us to know the one who's created us loves us this much to enable us to be what we're supposed to be. So right now, seal the deal in their hearts. We stand against every demonic force, every evil, the spirit of doubt that says you can't, the spirit of the doubt that says you won't, the spirit of doubt that says Jesus isn't the way, the spirit of doubt that says I will stand on my own. We stand against every spirit and we cast you from our brothers and our sisters and we pray the blood of Jesus over them. We pray the blood of Jesus over them. We pray the blood of Jesus over them. We pray freedom into their lives. We pray freedom would be theirs. We pray that they truly could be your women and your men. In Jesus' name, we're trusting you for that today. We don't want to do church. We want to be the church today. We want you to know with us it is impossible, but with you all things are possible. So see us now. Understand us now. Speak to us now. Your church is awaiting. If not us, who? If not now, when? Hear our cry, oh God. We believe you for your work. And by faith, and by faith, and by faith we say hallelujah. By faith we say hallelujah. By faith we say thank you, Lord, for the one who doubted and today is leaning in. Thank you, Lord, for the one who was skeptic and today is experiencing the supernatural experience of you alone. Thank you today for those that are online and for the families that are in their houses and your spirit is falling upon them. We celebrate that and we thank you. And we know this is only a poor reflection of one day what it will truly be like. But we say thank you, Lord. We are honored and we're grateful that you understand and you sympathize with us and you intercede right now for us. You are at the Father's right-hand side and you got us. We celebrate that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you. We really do love you. Would you tell him this morning? Would you tell him that you love him? Come on, church. Tell him that you love him.